You and I back together again, wrapping up a very busy week. Friday, September 17th, 2021 on Connecticut Today. Why do a lot of young people not want to get a COVID-19 vaccination? We discuss that and a new study to that end with Janelle Chisera. She's dean of the School of Health Sciences at Quinnipiac University. Also on the show Friday, I had to tell people again because of some dopey stuff I was reading and hearing. Yes, the 2020 election is over. Please move on. A couple of months back, I was reading more stuff about the election, and a great piece hit me right between the eyes. And somebody had posted this, one of these pundits who had posted this piece. And again, I'm kind of paraphrasing here, but this is what this person said. This person said, do you remember the legal team that back in 2000, okay, 20, 21 years ago almost now, the legal team that swooped in the Bush v. Gore case in Florida? Remember that? Where there was a recount going on in Florida, and they knew the way this case would shake out. The hanging chads thing, remember that? They knew that this is the presidency hung on this. And this person said, take a look at the legal minds that were on the president's side or the Republican side in Florida back in 2000 versus the attorneys that you had for the Trump team, which basically boiled down to Linwood, Rudy Giuliani, and Sidney Powell. Other than that, there were lawyers. You're like, I've never heard of this one. Who is this person? Were back then for the Bush team. It was an all-star team of attorneys, many of whom were constitutional experts and scholars. Among them, Ted Olson, who had a long Republican legal career. He was Solicitor General at one point. And this person just said in this piece, and it hit me right between the eyes, you know, on a federal case, you can judge how sound the argument is by who takes the case. Because any lawyer of any statue, lawyers of any stature are not going to take a case that they don't think has legs or has merits. I mean, a lot of you folks out there who continue to say the election was stolen, it was stolen. Don't you think for one minute that there were dozens and dozens of high-powered, high-dollar, constitutional scholars and election law experts, which is a very specific branch of the legal profession, election law. Not a whole lot of people know it, and not a whole lot of people do it really well. And wasn't it amazing that throughout this whole election was stolen thing from the Trump camp, that you didn't see any major, like, oh, I recognize that guy. Oh, yeah, he's on cable all the time. Oh, that guy, whew, boy, he's a heavyweight. Listen to him talk. We didn't see any of those people. You know why? Because lawyers like that didn't want to be associated with this case, because from the evidence they saw and from the people they undoubtedly talked to and asked, hey, do you think there's anything to this? They all heard, nah, this is nothing. Everything was fine. You know, Biden got a lot of more votes and Trump got more votes because of the, you know, because of the mail-in balloting. Now, again, a lot of that stuff, and Tom was correct in saying there is some controversial stuff on a state level. But again, folks, come on. None of this stuff is decided on, you know, on Rachel Maddow's show, on Tucker Carlson's show, on Sean Hannity's show, on Joy Reid's show, on Jake Tapper's show, on Chris Cuomo's show. No. High-powered attorneys don't care about that crap, because that's all buffet line stuff for the masses. They take a look at a case and they either say, oh, there's something here. There's a lot of phony stuff here. I'm going to put a couple of lawyers onto this. And I'll simply ask you again, did you see any high-powered attorneys, folks that you and I recognize, did you see anybody willing to take this case? No. You didn't. Take a little time out to talk about an interesting study here and some interesting info that you don't really hear a heck of a lot from the folks in my business. Young people, why are some young people not being vaccinated against COVID-19? You know, the standard image from a lot of media folks is, well, it's a bunch of older suburban white guys and it's all about politics. Well, for some demographics, it's not. Janelle Chisera is with us right now. She's the dean of the School of Health Sciences at Quinnipiac University. She was asked about this in a Newsweek article. Low vaccination rates among young people indicate the vaccine hesitancy is not just political. And she was involved in a study to show that. Janelle, hi. It's Paul on WICC. How are you?
Hi, Paul. Good to hear you. Yeah, good to be here with you.
Wait a minute. You mean everything is not political, Janelle, 100% of the time, 24/7? Oh, my God. How can that be? Talk about this, how these numbers were come about, and what do you think they show? It's interesting stuff.
Well, you know, I think, Paul, it's interesting that we think that everything is political right now, but the whole value of the college core, the public health college core, was recruiting students from communities, bringing them to our campus for a week to educate them, deploying them back into their communities to have these very conversations with a younger generation saying, why aren't you vaccinated? And what our interns had heard was that it wasn't just strictly political. It might involve things like questions that they still had regarding either side effects of the vaccines, or maybe some information that was floating around on social media around infertility and vaccinations, or even their ability to be resilient and not get sick. And I think we have to understand that as a community, that we really need to listen to what the questions are for these generations so that we can help them make better decisions for themselves. So, Paul, while it's shocking, it is not just political. There are a lot of reasons why people are a little bit hesitant at this point to get the vaccine, even the younger population.
And you mentioned the two magic words, Janelle, social media. And if this was 30, 40 years ago, the nuts, the wackos, wouldn't have the platform they do now. And it is amazing that, you know, one or two influencers, gee, I'd love that gig, can say something here, and it becomes gospel for hundreds of thousands of people in a split second.
Yes, I think what's interesting about it, Paul, so I'm glad you brought this up. I will tell you that I get asked the question a lot, where are America's youth getting their information before deciding whether or not to get vaccinated? And I will tell you that my stock answer, Paul, to that is I certainly hope that they're getting it from trusted and science-based sources like the Center for Disease Control, the World Health Organization, local health departments, physicians, and the like. But what we know is that it's different than that. We know that a large number receive their news from social media and or YouTube, and to a much lesser extent, news that's reported by news organizations or that news that we find in the print. And while we understand that news organizations maintain accounts on social media and other platforms, just like you said, Paul, those news organizations are competing for attention with corporate brands, celebrities, influencers, and personal connections. So I know I read a statistic recently where they said of the teens who get their news from YouTube, 6 in 10 of them say they're more likely to get it from celebrities, influencers, and personalities rather from the news organizations themselves. Now,
it is... It's. I mean, what do you do about that? As an educator yourself, Janelle, that must drive you crazy on some level, at least, especially when it comes to public health.
Yeah, I think, Paul, it's true. You know, I think what we have to do is just understand that is what we're dealing with. And so we have to make sure that we understand when it comes to vaccine hesitancy that there just isn't one solution and that we really need to look at newer campaigns and partnerships that encourage people in some way, shape, or form to get the latest and most accurate information on the COVID vaccinations, because there are still a lot of people out there who have questions and are confused. And so I think what's really important is that we get the right information to the people in the right sources so that they can get it and make that better decision for themselves.
Janelle, hang on. We'll be right back with you. More straight ahead with Janelle Chisera. She is Dean of the School of Health Sciences of Quinnipiac University, talking about information that was gathered by the Connecticut Public Health College Core Program, asking young folks, hey, why aren't you getting vaccinated? First, though, traffic and weather together right here on WICC. Coming up to 4:40, 20 before 5. Straight ahead, another check of traffic and weather together. What went on Wall Street today as well, as we have a few more minutes with Janelle Chisera. She's Dean of the School of Health Sciences at Quinnipiac University and the Connecticut Public Health College Core Program went out and asked young folks what was their hesitancy to get vaccinated against COVID-19. Janelle, was there any indication at all, maybe yes, maybe no, I'm not sure, of young folks who wanted to get it but were pressured not to by family members or friends? Was that looked into at all or not?
Yes, Paul. So it's really interesting that you asked this question because we did see that people saying, is it always the case that kids who don't want to get the vaccine also have parents who don't want to get the vaccine? And that's not necessarily the case at all. We know of some parents who readily got the vaccine for themselves but are slightly hesitant to get the vaccine for their children. I know children who are afraid to get the vaccine, but they're being encouraged by their parents. And I also know children who want the vaccine, but their parents will not sign the consent for them to get it. And so I think, Paul, the interesting part about this whole thing is that navigating family politics in cases of these differing views has been really a challenge for our youth and also for organizers of outreach campaigns who have really faced significant blowback for directly targeting our youth. I think that's the key here. It's a little tricky. And that's why I think these conversations that we're having are so important, so that we not only educate youth, but we also educate their parents and their families.
Is there a point or a mode here, Janelle, of getting some of these young people to change their mind and get the vaccine? And I know we don't want to coerce anybody who has an honest hesitancy, but at the same time, I think it is necessary to try and reach that point where you may dull a little of the misinformation that they may be relying on.
Yeah, I think that's the key is it's really about, and I think you're absolutely right, Paul, it's really not about peer pressure. It's more about peer guidance and sharing stories. And stories, we know, Paul, can be really powerful. You know, when our interns can tell of their personal stories from people from their own communities of why they themselves were hesitant at first but decided to get the vaccine, and here's what convinced them, I think those are very powerful. And I think that's where we are with regard to vaccinations now, and the hesitancy is that it's very individual, it's very personalized, and we need people out there who meet people where they are, make them feel important and heard, and are there to answer their questions so that they can make the best decision that they can for themselves. And I think that was really the benefit of the College Corps. We didn't force, we just informed, so that we hope that people would make different decisions, better decisions.
Were the interns at all surprised, Janelle, at what they found out? Were they kind of, oh my God, or was it, yeah, I kind of figured this, or something in the middle?
No, it was something in the middle, Paul. Exactly. You're saying, I think they kind of knew that what they were going to experience. I think at some point they didn't realize how, you know, the level of resistance that they would get from some people. But they also didn't realize how what they learned was a lot of people just had questions that they want answered, and they wanted someone there to listen to them and answer those questions. So I think it was somewhere in the middle. But what was striking to them was how important they were in helping answer questions for people so they can make better decisions.
Janelle, thank you. Janelle Chisera has joined us. She's Dean of the School of Health Sciences at Quinnipiac University, talking about hesitancy found among young folks 12 to 24 that was found by the Connecticut Public Health College Corps program at getting a COVID-19 vaccination. Janelle, thank you so much, and hopefully we can chat down the road. Have a great weekend. Thank you.
Thank you, Paul. Would love that.
Appreciate it. Thanks. All right. Janelle Chisera, Dean of the School of Health Sciences at Quinnipiac University. Interesting. They sent some young College Health Corps interns out to talk to people their own age, asking, hey, what's your deal with the vaccine? All right. Well, again, not just the young kids, folks. It's older folk. I mean, when this started, what, a year and a half ago, right? Whatever, February of 2020. And they're saying now that we may have seen cases of this in like August or September of 2019. But again, they blew off March Madness, the NCAAs, in 2020. So if you look back then, I started to say to myself back then, man, this is going to be interesting because we've never gone through this before. This is not a hurricane. This is not an earthquake. This is not flooding. This is a public health issue. This is a disease issue. And I wondered back then and still wonder how we're going to fare when the final chapter of this is written and cataloged.